started a new series last week out of using the whole Bible. It's in there. talked about last week how God himself speaks to us, how God works in our life, how God leads us, guides us to the right solutions and the right answers. And I want to talk this week about the idea that God himself is our provider. If we will allow him to, he will provide for us better than what we can provide for ourselves. If you haven't experienced it, I pray that God's going to give you a time to see his ability to provide. Found this quote. Says, some days he will do far more abundantly than all I can ask or imagine. And other days he will sustain me in the storm. In both of those situations, God provides. He gives us the ability to get through the challenges that you and I face in life. And how grateful we are for that. The first thing I want us to look at today is that God invites us to test his ability to provide for us. God invites us, actually he commands us, to test him in his ability to provide for us. Malachi chapter 3, if you guys want to turn there, that's the first passage of scripture we're going to look at. Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to look at this idea of how God provides for us as we test him, as we follow what he tells us to do, and he is going to prove faithful in that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. This is our focus today. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. God's promise to a nation, but God's promise to us. And God invites us in this passage to test him. There's only one place in the scripture where God gives us this instruction, and it's right here. That's why it's important for us to look at, because it's only spoken one time. You know, when Jesus was tempted, he said, don't put the Lord God to the test. But this is where God is saying, test me. Test my power. Test my provision to you. And do this as you focus your attention upon me and my work. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see God Himself speaking. Now, why is that important? That's important because it's not just His prophet speaking, but it's God Himself giving us this instruction, this command, this idea to test Him in who He is and what He will provide for us. What if you had the annual revenue of the United States from 2022? $4 trillion to spend in 1 year. What if you had that at your disposal? You could spend each day $13,424,657,534. You'd have that much to spend. Now, that's a hard thing for us to grasp. But the reality is, when you and I cry out to God and ask Him to provide, He is going to do that no matter what the cost is, no matter how hard it is to accomplish. Are we willing to test God? Are we willing to ask Him to do what His Word has already told us that He will do? Have you ever done this in the past? When things get chaotic in your checkbook, I know I'm not the only one. You know, we're taking on so much debt as a nation. Why? Because we spend more than we receive. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard to figure out. And sometimes we can do that. We can get so wrapped up in the moment and forget that God Himself asks us to test Him in this. I remember one time when we were living over in Lake Dallas, we had just gotten a new house. I had just quit the steady job I was doing because I felt like the Lord wanted me to do something else. And I remember one night going upstairs to my office and there looked at my checkbook online. Sure enough, there was only 12 cents. 12 cents. I'm not lying to you. There was only 12 cents, and it was 3 days away from payday. So we didn't know where or what we were going to do. But we had 12 cents. And God made it last for those 3 days. So that we did not go hungry. We did not have to do something, borrow money. God Himself provided for us. And it doesn't take many of those times, although I could probably spend the entire sermon time telling you stories about how God has provided for me and my family through our years of life. How God used a widow woman in Steamboat Springs when the church could not make our paycheck, and she gave extra so that they could. I could tell you story after story. My friend, one thing that we can know is true. If you will put God to the test in this area, He will prove Himself faithful. I think I've told you before that I had a guy in my church in Steamboat Springs, and he wasn't a well-off guy, but, I mean, he had a nice retirement. And I remember him as we were going through some struggles, as we were having some problems as a church meeting our budget. And he said, got up, said, look, I challenge you here today that if you give God this test for 1 year, and then you come back to me and you say, God, fail me, I will give you all the money that you paid in. Can you believe he did that? What was driving this guy to respond like that? He had already tested God and found Him to be faithful in what He had given. And he wanted other people to experience that same blessing. He wasn't saying it for the sake of himself. He wasn't saying it for his own benefit. He was saying it so that they would benefit from how God has proven Himself and how God has worked, not just in this situation, but you remember the first time that the words Jehovah Jireh, the name for God, was used? Abraham was going to sacrifice his son that God had given to him and Sarah. He didn't know what was going to happen, but God provided. God provided. Matter of fact, the boy said on the way, we've got everything that we need, but where's the sacrifice? And what is it that Abraham said to him? The Lord will provide. God will do something when we are willing to trust Him, when we are willing to test Him, as He says here in this situation. So let me ask you, has there been a time in your life where you've put the test of this scripture, as God Himself has said, if you will do what I'm saying to you, I will provide for you? He goes on and says, it's going to be so obvious that I have provided for you that others are going to see it. And they're going to recognize that I am your provider. That's the first thing I want us to look at, is this idea of God invites us to test His ability to provide. We won't learn it unless we test God. Doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. Doesn't mean that everything's going to work out. It's always going to be when we expect it to. But it does mean God is going to be faithful. And when there's many years that go by, God is still faithful. God is still the provider for us. The second thing I want us to talk about is how God promises to provide for us because we are valuable to Him. Because we are valuable to Him. Jesus was preaching this sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he focuses the attention of His listeners on the reality of the worries that they face. We face worry, don't we? You worry sometimes about your kids. You worry sometimes about your finances. You worry sometimes about whether or not you're going to be able to do this or do that. You worry sometimes about, I don't know. But you do. And God does. How do you respond? Listen to this. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Look at this phrase. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You sometimes wonder if you're worthy of what God says about you. You sometimes find yourself in the quietness of a moment thinking to yourself, man, what in the world am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? He continues on in verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, the unbelievers, they eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Instead, he asks us to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And what does he say? All these things. He doesn't say some of these things are going to be provided for you, but all these things are going to be added to you. God himself knows our need. In the quietness of a moment where we feel as if God is not responding to me, where we feel like God is not answering our prayer, God is. Why? Because you are so much more valuable than a bird. And think how many birds there are in this world alive today. I mean, We can't even count them. I mean, I'm sure there's probably somebody who makes some statement. But if you think about it, God himself is the provider for the birds. And if he would do that, how much more is he going to provide for us? He is going to do that, not because we're special, but because he values us. He values who we are, where we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, but as God is faithful, Our word to you is not yes and no. Continues on in verse 20. For as many as there are promises of God in Him, in who? Capital H, Christ. In Christ they are yes. Therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. The promises of God from Genesis to Revelation, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, they're all yes to you. It's like they're yes to me. But we have to exercise the promises of God. We have to act upon the promises of God to see Him work and move in mighty ways. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Even when we are proven liars, as it says, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, he says, far from it, rather, God must prove to be true, though every person be found a liar. God's going to continue to prove that He is true and that His promises are worth banking on. They're worth relying upon. They're worth trusting. God Himself is willing to do far more than we can imagine or think when we trust Him. What is worry? Worry is questioning whether or not God is going to come through. It's doubting that He is going to be the one who remains faithful when everybody else is proven unfaithful or a liar, as he mentions here. When you and I come to a place where we can say, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In essence, test the promises of God. He is going to come through for you. Because it says later in the next verse, it says the peace of God is going to guard your heart. The absence of chaos. Mentally, you and I can be dealing with chaos, but God can give us peace in the midst of that storm. The third thing I want us to look at today is the fact that God Himself has unlimited resources to provide for us. God has unlimited resources to provide for us. Look with me, if you will, at Exodus chapter 19. Now, y'all know from just simple Bible reading how difficult the children of Israel were when they were coming out of the Promised Land. How difficult it was. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says this, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then shall you be my possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Do you realize We could take all the resource that has been accumulated in just our nation. God's got more. We could take all the resources that are in the world, and God owns it all. It says in Psalm 50, verse 10, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills." There's no reason to question or to doubt God's ability to provide for us because His resources are unlimited. You say, well, you know, God has run out on me. No, He hasn't. The resources of heaven have not been exhausted, and they won't ever be exhausted. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, "O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." We like to take ownership. We like to take ownership of the things that we have and feel as if they're ours. But the reality is, whether we admit it or not, all things belong to God. Pick the richest person who has ever lived, and they cannot compare with the resources that God Himself has available. You know what it says in Philippians 4:19? It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to what? His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God will supply all your needs by His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In Numbers chapter 14, story I really like, if you haven't ever read it before, the children of Israel were complaining. They were complaining. I know you're shocked. I know you can't believe that they were doing that. But we are a lot like them, aren't we? We find ourselves complaining that God didn't do this, or God didn't do that, or God gave us this to deal with. It says in chapter 11, verse 4, first part, says, "The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat?'" You ever heard this story? Who will give us meat to eat? That was the question they ask. Verse 23. Look at what it says there. "The Lord said to Moses." Why did the Lord say this to Moses? Because Moses said this in verse 21. Moses said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 on foot." Now, most commentators would estimate that on the low side, the children of Israel, the count of the children of Israel was 1,500,000. Up to 2.5 million is what some people have estimated. He says, Moses says this to God. I'm sorry, but you think about having this conversation with God. He says, Moses, he says to him, "Yet you have said, 'I will give them meat so that they may eat for a whole month.' Should flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them? And this is what the Lord said to Moses. Is the Lord's power, His provision, limited? Now you should see whether my word will come true for you or not. You imagine having this conversation and you're saying, Lord, there's just too many people here for you to feed. I can't imagine it. But God says, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. So Moses, he went out and he told the people in verse 24 the words of the Lord. Also he gathered 70 men of the elders and the people and stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. And he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed upon him on the 70 elders that were there. This is all part of God's provision. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. God provided not only those who were going to be a help to Moses, but look at what it says in verse 31. It says, now there went forth a wind. This is all part of that same experience that Moses was dealing with. A wind went forth from God, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp. Now, that's a miracle in itself, that the quail just stayed there. And notice what he said. About a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side. All around the camp and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground, the people spent all day, all this crowd of people spent all day collecting these quail that had been given to them. Says in verse 33, while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of the place was called, because they buried the people who had been greedy from this Kibroth Hattaavan. The people set out for Harazoth and they remained there. God Himself provided enough quail so that all the people who ate could eat it for an entire month till they were sick of it. Isn't that a great picture to us of how God Himself has unlimited provision? You think about all of the great miracles that God had shown them in Egypt, and they still did not believe. And God, in a moment, caused this to happen so that all of them would see the powerful hand of God. And Moses would learn one more time how God could provide when no one else could. Have you learned that same lesson in your life? That God Himself not only desires for you to test him in his ability to provide. But God himself promises to do that. And those are yes because of who Jesus is. And the third reality is God provides. God has provided throughout history, and God will continue to provide until he comes back again. He's going to provide for us. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I question. Sometimes I wonder. I think that's part of maturity, is learning how to trust God in the most difficult of circumstances, the most unbelievable set of circumstances. God will lead us to the impossible so that he can show us that he does impossible things. The challenge is, are we willing to go with him? Are we willing to follow him into the impossible set of circumstances that we may be facing so that he can show us and show others his ability to do the supernatural? Let's pray together.